You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is the one and only IT in the D Show. We're at episode 221. Thank you for listening.
220, 221, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Segment two, we're going to be joined by Kasten Thomas. We're going to be talking about some mega trends and some stuff going on in the information security world. Kasten's always a really good guest.
Some of the
guest.
Transformers? Mega Trends?
Yes.
The new one? I haven't seen the new
Megatron.
One yet. So, yeah.
Megatron.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I knew him.
It's big difference.
I thought maybe Mega Trends was it. Yeah, I didn't know.
Now we got Michelle Gilbert in the house from Comcast, which we're going to be trashing on her for a solid half an hour about the internet being down today. Just kidding. We're not going to do that. But we're going to be talking about actually all the tech and, that went into the new Little Caesars Arena. We've been dying to have this conversation for a while. Absolutely. And Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Everything with that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What tries? The hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the deek off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pumpa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead, a lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the McGumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys! Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. This is the IT in the D Show. Thank you for clicking play. We are at episode 221, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, always being joined. We got a full room tonight. Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG is heading back to India next week, but he's in studio tonight, as is Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker, and Jeremiah, Dr. Hook. from DailyDetroit.com. Find us online, itinthed.com, and like us on all the socials and subscribe to us everywhere fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so before we get rolling, this episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, now featuring lynda.com content. That's L-Y, not L-I, not a woman's name, but L-Y. The leader in online learning for the past 20 years. Now, so you know we have our whole thing going on with Career Academy. This is a little bit different. So LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for go-getters, for people who want to stay ahead in their careers. Maybe you want to stay ahead and stay on top of the latest technology. Keep your organization's network secure. Everything you need to achieve more is on LinkedIn Learning. So like, you know, our stuff that we're doing is really focused on A+, Net Plus, Security Plus. This is for all those things outside of that that you really should take a look at. So for IT professionals, LinkedIn Learning is your ultimate resource to keep your skills fresh. Some popular courses include data science and analytics careers, certifications, DevOps foundations, CISSP exam prep and cert prep, ITIL foundations. Whether you're looking to sharpen your skills, prepare for a cert, or just stay ahead of the curve, LinkedIn Learning is a powerful tool to have in your arsenal. Now, the nice thing about this is they also have a lot of non-technical classes. Like, apparently they have just tons of things about how to take better photos. I need to learn how to take better photos because
half the photos you send are blurry, Dave.
Go home, phone. You're drunk. That's my phone's problem. It's not me. But with a LinkedIn Learning membership, you can quickly find the right video course for you from their extensive library. You can learn from industry experts who are passionate about teaching. You can explore course recommendations curated just for you. And we all know how much I love the word curated. We do. It's a thing.
Yes, absolutely.
You can use project files and quizzes to validate your learning. You can get transcripts for each video so you can watch, listen, or read along. There's no hidden charges or upsells. Access all the courses you want, all for one monthly price, and it's available worldwide. Now, that's something that they were really key on pushing out there because a lot of people apparently in an international audience tend to tune out because most of this stuff is applicable to U.S. only. This is a global offering. So even if you're outside the U.S., you can check this out. You can learn from anywhere on your computer, tablet, or mobile device. Got a good special deal for you, too. You can get a free 30-day trial with LinkedIn Learning just by visiting LinkedIn.com/Detroit. That's LinkedIn.com/Detroit, all lowercase. Thank them. And obviously, we obviously thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you make things like this fine podcast possible.
Keeping the lights on.
Exactly.
And that crazy jacket you're wearing there, Dave.
Actually, you know, here's the sad part. Like, I literally, like, I got rid of a bunch of junk out of my closet because it was time to, like, weed through the T-shirts, weed through some of the hockey jerseys and go through some of that stuff. I've had this buried behind, like, my other sport coats for probably a year, year and a half based on, you know, the carbon dating that I was able to do to go through them. It was time to pull it out. It's
very fall.
It's
So speaking of you mentioned Career Academy, if you were up at 6:30 this morning and watching Channel 7, we were on
We were not on. They were talking about us.
They were talking about us, just about our Career Academy launch. This Saturday, we're having an open house down at DSDT, Southwest Detroit. For anyone that's interested, if you know anyone that's interested in a career in IT that's displaced from retail or in a dead-end job or something and wants a ground floor opportunity, this is the place to be. Go to our site for more info. And real quick, mark your calendars, November 7th and the 16th. The 7th will be in Ann Arbor at Connor O'Neill's. 16th, we will be at Nancy Whiskey's. Should be a fun, fun month.
And just a note, this is our last Ann Arbor event of 2017, so come see us.
Yeah.
So, the internet didn't work today, and I thought it was me, and of course I didn't call you because you were to yell at me about something. So
I would ask you if it was plugged in.
Yeah.
Is it turned on?
So I
have you bounced your router?
So I rebooted everything, and I'm going through all my settings, and I'm rebooting that, and I'm rebooting more stuff, and it's crawling. But then here's the thing: where it got me was some websites were. I don't expect the internet ever to be down. So some websites were coming in, some were not working.
Right.
Interesting. I had no problems today at all, which is really strange. I mean, we're just a couple miles from each other, really.
Yeah.
Same providers. It's just it's really strange.
The internet, it seemed to yark at like 1 o'clock, 1:30.
Well, apparently the culprit is our good friends at Level 3.
You mean CenturyLink?
Well, yeah, they bought CenturyLink.
Right. Or the other way around, which way?
The Level 3 bought CenturyLink. Okay. But I think they're keeping the brand because everyone knows CenturyLink better than
– Right. Which Level 3 is kind of like one of those sneaker providers. Nobody knows who they are, but they kind of like carry the entire country's internet through their back.
Not everyone's a tier one provider because it's exactly. Very expensive to get connected to the NAPs. And that's what – so here's where it gets funny. There's an article that just that came out in Wired right before the show, so we're lucky to pull it up. Basically, here's where it gets funny, and we talked about this before the show because it doesn't make any sense. But basically, as it says, the misconfiguration was a route leak. One of the people from Arbor Networks that basically monitors global networks, ISPs use autonomous systems, also known as ASSs, to keep track of what IP addresses are in what networks and route packets between them.
So today was like asses of fire, basically, then.
The ass was broken, yeah. But, like, okay, hold on a minute. Now, you, like, this is what you do for a living. My, like, my first job was in a tier one ISP. Like, I cut my teeth 24-odd years ago, and I've never heard this term before in my life. And they use it again in this article. In a route leak, an AS or multiple asses issue incorrect information about the IP address of the network, which causes insufficient routing and failures for the originating ISP.
Did some writer just get creative with that one?
I don't know. This came from the analyst at Arbor Networks, which
– not a lot of creativity, a lot of good tech, but not a lot of good creativity probably.
Apparently.
Right?
But like again, you never heard this terminology before.
Never heard anyone talk about
their
ass.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either.
I'm probably going to get yelled at like I did by the Spider-Man guy that, oh my God, how do you not know what an ass is?
Stuff writes itself.
Well, you do
Bob.
Have kids.
Seriously. I know, I totally do.
Well, he is from Ann Arbor.
right.
The weird thing about today, though, is like no one was talking about level three. Like I was on Twitter looking for like mentions of level three or level three outages. It was only people talking about their ISP being down. Like all the things were like, oh, Comcast is broken.
Well, you don't pay a level three bill; you pay a Comcast.
Well, yeah, nobody knows what happens upstream of their ISP. Right. Nobody knows
who does a trace route of their own house. No one.
Who knows what a trace route is in like the normie space?
A large percentage of our listeners probably.
I'd hope
our listeners would, but a lot of people in the Daily Detroit audience may not know.
Oh, way to make it about you, Jer.
Well, here's a tweezer. I'll be talking about this in segment two.
Ooh.
And there it is. Nice teaser. So what else is going on?
I'm not going to lie. My favorite story maybe not favorite, but just from like a deep, deep nerd story is the Dungeons & Dragons game that's been running continuously for 35 years.
Now, hold on. Like, okay, so when I got introduced to Dungeons & Dragons, it was in fifth grade. I would have been 9 or 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I know the four guys I played with in the back of the class.
Uh-huh.
Dan DiBici, Scott Salyers, and Bill Mahousey. And
shout out if you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm listening. I couldn't imagine the four of us still playing.
Now, today.
The same – because we all made ourselves be demigods within like a week and a half of playing anyway.
Nice. You were those guys.
Totally were. Totally.
Well, no. So I don't know if you took a look at the article in the beginning along with it. I mean, this is not just sitting around the table rolling dice. I mean, these guys have created an entire world that they play in. Like they've got, you know, landscapes and they, you know, it's not even just like the little moving boards and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's elaborate and it's insane and it's amazing.
And I'm sure they've retired their characters, created new ones several times over the decades.
And I'm sure they're very well adjusted into society as well.
Yeah. They wanted to ask their wives for comment. They went, what?
Exactly.
Which speaks a lot about the DM who runs that. Like I've really never appreciated how good or how bad a game could go based on the DM who's running it.
Oh, it's almost like an LSD trip. It's wholly dependent on who you're with. Yeah.
Dang. But 35 years of the same story. That's just incredible.
Yeah.
Turn into a book or something.
Write a movie. It should be.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I mean, that's how book series work, like Dragonlance or Forgotten Realms. There's dozens and dozens of novels set in the same shared worlds. So
crazy.
They just built their own.
Bunch of weird stuff in the cell phone business going on right now. Like, you know, with the Apple iOS. Basically, Wall Street Journal came out with an article. It was behind a paywall, so it was difficult to get all the info out. But basically, how people are tricking. Because we talked about that. Like, oh my God, can you kill someone and use their face for facial recognition? Uh-huh. It's like, no. Someone said no, but apparently yes. Like, he tricked it with triplets.
But then I saw another article that had twins, and the twins didn't work. Like, so that was good.
Well, but were they fraternal twins? Because I mean,
they were exact copies. They were great. They were
twins,
awesome.
But they're not identical.
And I've been playing with mine because I got my phone on Friday, and I've been absolutely thrilled with this phone. It's beautiful, and the facial unlock will not work if my eyes are closed. I tested this. So I basically closed my eyes and held my phone up, and it will not unlock. And as soon as I open my eyes and it knows that it's real or a person's real, it unlocks. But you can turn these settings on and
off. So all you have to do is get Nuri passed out drunk.
Hold my eyes open.
And then Tom and Jerry his eyes open, and you're in.
So there are two settings in there. One's called attention detection, and the other one's called – I don't remember the other setting.
Oh, so when you're like you're napping on the couch and I can't grab your phone and play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeah. and get in it.
Like if I'm looking at you now, my phone's not going to unlock.
Right.
So I'm holding up in front of my face and it's probably still locked maybe.
Yeah.
All right. As soon as I look at it, bam, it's there.
Ooh, and for my next trick, ooh.
Actually, the funny line is, although it does struggle to recognize me with my Groucho mustache on.
Well, yeah. Well, and there are apparently, you know, so many popular features that $370,000 worth of them were stolen off of a UPS truck. In San Francisco. Oops.
Now, when I read that, let me ask you a question.
So wait, that's 8 iPhone 10s?
Yes. Don't the UPS trucks and FedEx trucks have like the dash cams, like the forward and back, like the Russian dash cam videos?
I'd assume so.
Like you'd think, like then why would you jump, like to jump into a truck? I guess that's
– Why do people still rob armored cars to get the things?
Right. But how did you know which ones were iPhones?
Well, think about it.
Ah, inside job.
Well, maybe. Or maybe they're expecting all those to be delivered the day before the big launch, things like that.
And
like,
it's being delivered to Apple
yeah,
Store.
Yeah, sit outside of a mall.
No, it's being delivered to Apple Store, yeah. Somerset. And yeah, but well,
those UPS trucks have usually their doors open. Like my UPS driver will
they
hop
all
out,
do.
Yeah. Run over to me, you know, run back, the door is wide
blasting
open.
CCR from their Bluetooth speaker. You know.
Sounds like a pretty easy target to me. I don't know. But then every one of these phones, they've got a shipping manifest.
But they're all tagged?
Exactly. They've got the IMEIs, the serial numbers, all that stuff. I don't know. What are they going to do with them?
Chop shop.
Flea market.
Your screen replacement here. Well, like I said, I mean, the guys that have them don't care. And they don't – because they're not expecting – it's you know, it's like when you go to Chinatown, you know, and you buy a knockoff whatever. It's not like the person selling you the knockoff is going, oh, yeah, that leather's going to fall apart in like 6 steps away from here. It's not like the people hawking the stolen iPhones are going, now, just so you know, when you buy this iPhone from this sidewalk kiosk for 1/10 of the price you're expecting to pay.
Or on eBay or
– exactly. Right. It's not going to work when you get it. But, hey, you probably should still buy it.
Well, we're not just going to trash on Apple because we got to give Google some love. Apparently, they are shipping their Pixel 2 XLs. Without someone forgot to flash OS on them.
Well, they were. Apparently the issue has been caught and corrected. But yes, there were a number of people that got the Pixel 2 XLs without operating system.
Just imagine like you're sitting around your house and you're so excited to get your new phone. You're like, yeah, I got my new Pixel XL. You open up the box, cannot find valid operating system. The device will not start.
Right. Like that's got to be – yeah.
Wah. Like what happens when you plug it in?
You know the people with the Pixels are almost as bad as the iPhone people, if not
probably.
And it's the whole look what I got.
Look at my phone,
and,
yeah.
And wah wah, not so much working. Sorry.
By the way, did I tell you when I went to that trade show? Did I mention that the BlackBerry had a huge presence there?
For
why? I don't know.
Aren't they licensing their stuff?
No,
now?
I just said it's really cool that they're adding more rim jobs in the area. So.
Did they laugh or no?
No, I didn't think it was funny. No, but apparently they're doing a lot of stuff with IoT. Like I see them, they're sprouting up now with their operating system. They're trying to make a comeback. I'd be curious to see if they do make it.
Well, I've been seeing them around security stuff, right? Because a lot of corporations and things really like the BlackBerry layers and all that kind of stuff.
That's how they started. That's how that was their whole.
Well, they're in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for mobile device management. All of the auto. Car systems
going to
are
QNX.
Running on – yeah.
I've seen QNX. Ads about that driving up the interstate about is your car BlackBerry secure?
Yeah.
It is. More than likely it is because most
Ford
of
was dropping sync and moving to QNX.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, and not only that, I mean, like government. I mean that's still the standard government-issued smartphone.
Is it?
Is a BlackBerry.
Or are they all carrying iPhones now?
No, I thought they were still doing BlackBerry.
No, they're still doing
security.
Yep.
So and speaking of Google – answer me this because this one boggles my
Riddle
mind.
Tell me this, Batman.
How this happens. So somebody created basically a fake WhatsApp app.
Yeah.
And dropped it into Google Play.
Now, see, to me, that's not the amazing part of the story.
No. It was downloaded more than 1 million times.
That's the amazing part of the story.
Recently.
That there were 1 million people left on this planet that did not already have WhatsApp.
Right. Like, no, for real. And it took them, you know, basically – it was open for, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah.
and a million people downloaded it. And then, oh, by the way, you're just getting pushed ads. It's a fake app.
Apparently, there are a total of 7 spoof apps bearing the name of WhatsApp on Google, which is strange because I don't see the same thing on the Apple Store. Does Apple do a better job at curating those things and Google just doesn't care?
Well, no. So Apple is insanely protective of the store to the point where it is a pain in the ass to get things approved. Google Play, the process is a lot simpler and more streamlined. And in fact, you know, one of the things that wouldn't surprise me about this is if it weren't that someone got an app cleared and then slipped some stuff in and renamed it.
Ooh.
Like that, that's plausible to me that that's actually how this happened.
Interesting.
Yeah, because Apple can be pretty arbitrary about why they take apps out. They can just be like, I don't like you, and they'll put it to like one of their list of reasons, and then you're just done.
Apparently, well, Google lets you submit an app, your company name, to get listed in the store. You just say your WhatsApp with an extra space.
Or 3 P's or something.
Yeah.
Well, this one was, yeah, WhatsApp Inc. got through. So it looked as the developer as WhatsApp Inc. And so nobody, you know.
Right.
And funny, all of them had 4-star average reviews. Which is even weirder, which means someone is probably gaming their review system.
Oh, click well, hard.
Yeah.
Review gaming is like the oldest game in the book though.
Mm.
You know, like with Amazon and all that other kind of stuff, like review gaming is part of people's marketing plans nowadays.
True. Hey, the genius of the week, I believe, has to go to the gentleman in Bay City who's on trial for marijuana distribution.
And Bay City's here in Michigan for all you people listening outside of the way.
So yeah, Bay City, Michigan. He is a genius on many levels. Number one, he's representing himself. I forget who it was. There was some famous lawyer who said a man who represents himself has a fool for a client. but he took it upon himself to call the judge. I want to make sure I get this right. A criminal and a grammar teacher because that's all he was concerned about. And then he called the prosecuting attorney a dork.
Was it the 80s?
And they went on some
like, – did he also say to gag him with a spoon?
Right, just profanity-laden tirade that they couldn't print any of. So I'm pretty sure he's not going to be getting any leniency.
Well, there's some really good twists to this story though. Like he submitted some documentation basically trying to prove his innocence and the judge is like, is it in the right format? And he's like, no. And he's like, bullshit. And he's like, well, what if my lawyer submitted this and I got a lawyer? And she's like, well, will your lawyer submit it in the proper format? Apparently there's a format for legal documents.
There is.
Go figure.
So after all this –
because guy representing himself, if you had a law degree, you would know that.
And so basically after all this, he's now actually – the recent update in the story says that he now has an attorney to represent him, which is probably a good thing.
Good luck to that attorney.
I'm not a member of your bar. I've taken your test. It's silly. It's easy. You can take the Michigan bar exam online. It's not that difficult.
Oh, like, my gosh.
What?
The other genius was at the McDonald's in Ohio the other night. And apparently at 3:30 in the morning.
The McRib's back,
by
the way.
He really, really wanted a McMuffin.
You know, I get it. They're serving breakfast all day. Sometimes you just get that crazy
3:30 in the morning.
Hey, right? What did you eat at 3:30 in the morning the other day?
I had to go home and make myself basically a McMuffin.
Right.
Because your ass didn't want to go to Lafayette.
I did
at
not.
At 3 a.m.
I was
you
done.
You wussed out.
I was done.
Let's put that on air.
That's
you
fine.
You wussed out.
I went to bed. I didn't
wuss out. Those nacho cheese fries. Come on, Bob. Come on, dude.
Exactly, dude. Coney's and chili cheese fries. No, I'm going to go home, man. I won't go to Lafayette.
True story, all
you
of
go.
It.
I won't go.
It's true.
Anyway, so 3:30 in the morning, he decides he wants a McMuffin. So the breakfast all day thing, yes, they do have breakfast all day, but they do not carry all of the menu items all day. So when they told him he could not get a McMuffin at 3:30 a.m., he pulled a gun on the drive-thru clerk.
Because that's going to get them to make –
yeah.
No, I didn't want to make one, but now, okay.
Oh,
now.
Since you're committing a felony, by all means,
you might say that he's putting a gun to their head.
He is. He's got a McFelony now on his record.
Just sit here for about 20 minutes. We'll have one for you. 911, what's your emergency?
Speaking of bad jokes, I must be on a list in wherever Nuri's going next week, Bangalore.
Bangalore?
What's her name?
Bangalore.
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 Yes, Bangalore.
I got another phone call, but this time it wasn't Microsoft support. This genius thought he was going to be from Gmail support.
Ooh.
And basically said, there's been activity coming from your account, and we're going to shut it down unless you do these steps.
What were the steps? Did you play along?
Oh, totally did, but I was in the car.
So what's that background noise,
sir? In the beginning, I was just like, cause I go, this is great show material. I'm going to keep going. And then he's, you know, I go, my Gmail? I don't use it that often. I was trying to play that way, and I'm like, no. Then I go, yeah, but I did. There's some weird stuff going on. Then he wanted me to, like, log into my computer.
Well, I clicked that one link.
Right. No, he wanted me to like log it. Like, so then I read up on it. Apparently, they want you to log in your computer, then they take control of it. It's the same thing as a Microsoft scan.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the remote access.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But then I told him, I go, I won't be in front of my computer until later. I thought I would blow the guy.
Can I call you back?
He called me back.
Whoa. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. At like 7 o'clock at night, and I go, I'm in the car, dude. He actually passed it over to the guy with a British accent, because he had a real rough accent. And all of a sudden, in between, boom, the swab comes on. The guy goes, well, hello, sir. This is a level 2 support. Like, wow, this is.
I gotta shoot you an app that you need so you can record this crap on your phone.
Oh, I totally That's have to. Need.
I've never gotten one before.
Oh, really? See, my whole thing is
now that I talked to him for a long time. I think I'm on a list because, like, oh yeah, this one. Keeps...
This guy might fall for it.
Yeah. Well, so I always act stupid in the beginning. I'm like, what? My computer's broke. It's been acting funny lately. You know, I'm totally like
getting all these pop ups, and it's been really slow.
Right.
Getting in the way of downloading my porn. I guess a good local story, or at least interesting local story. I kind of thought it was weird. They're making all the businesses in Detroit take all the ads down. Off the sides of the buildings.
Just ads or is art okay? Because I think of like some of the really incredible art downtown.
No,
the buildings.
I think it's advertisements specifically. Okay,
it's advertisements specifically, but there has to be an exemption granted for art as well. So they're trying to really cramp down on all of it.
So what if you can do an original work of art that's an ad?
Oh, is like, isn't ad an art?
I'm like,
art,
I could argue
isn't
that
ad art.
That iPhone X is a definite work of art. I mean,
if you're going to call a building art.
Right.
Oh, then the building has to come down.
See?
Gotta knock the buildings down.
Art deco.
It's like a Russian egg of dumbassery.
I don't know. To me, though,
nesting dolls.
Nesting dolls.
That's what makes cities cool, man. Like, could you imagine Times Square?
Well, and like that's what they specifically referenced. Oh, we don't want the city looking like Times Square.
Why not? It's amazing.
Do you have junkies in like Elmo suits getting pictures with tourists?
Like I can see or cowboys in their underwear with a guitar. No, I mean I can see like you don't want like 1978 Times Square, but 2017 Times Square is pretty cool.
I mean, who's offended by a giant billboard of Andre Drummond?
But then you let Kobo put up the digital wall of ad. Like, that's okay?
Apparently. Because it's not on the building. You do is you layer the entire side of the building.
Like a foot
with LED screens.
Do you remember the right across the street from Comerica Park? There's that one building. I think they're building the Little Caesars in front of it. But it was like everyone, they almost like, it was like a 3D where people were like coming out of the windows. So they put windows on the side of the brick.
Yeah.
But like I couldn't tell you what the company was. Again, it's just like great advertising.
Right.
Remember that Super Bowl ad? Don't know what car company it was, but it was funny.
But great ad,
Yeah. That was like stuff like that. It makes the city cool. It's like you got to be creative and anyway.
And I think the city looks empty without ads. I mean, one of the reasons why it looked so empty for so long was all those blank walls that were just
everywhere. Does someone need to get paid off? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, the law has. I think the law should change. We did an editorial that it should change because it's stupid. I mean, this is downtown. Now the funny part about this, because this is the city of Detroit, right?
Like funny, haha, or like hey, this
like,
looks like
a clown.
Like this is run of the mill like stupidity, right? Yeah. The billboards are not banned outside of Grand Boulevard, but they are banned inside of Grand Boulevard. So they're not banned in the neighborhoods, but they are banned downtown. Which is the reverse of what you would want to do in this situation. Like downtown should be a billboard. There should be billboards and things allowed.
Is it just me or did Jared just like slip like into halfway Bill Cosby?
I told Bill Cosby. Yeah. I totally caught that.
Not what you want from the buildings and the neighborhoods and the pudding pops.
Totally
and rah.
The first thing I thought. You went total Bill Cosby. Not total. Oh my
God. So glad I'm not the only one that caught that.
No, totally.
The neighborhoods and the rah.
On that note, total Bill Cosby minus the roofies.
Speaking of roofies, we're going to be back in segment two with Cass and Thomas. Just kidding, Cass. We're going to be talking security and properties of security. This This is the IT and the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 221 of the IT and the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, hanging out with Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, Randy, I do the Twitters Walkers in studio. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you can like us on all the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Find podcasts.
You can find all the events. You can check out the thing about the Career Academy. Life's good.
This segment brought to you by Eero. The single router Wi-Fi model just doesn't work anymore for our increasingly high bandwidth world. What you need is a distributed system. Eero. Whatever your Wi-Fi needs, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi via Ethernet, wireless, or any combination. Simply set it on a flat surface or plug it into a wall outlet to expand coverage into any room. Not to mention, with the addition of the third 5 GHz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band and twice as fast as its predecessor, which lets customers do more in every room of their home simultaneously. And with the addition of this new Thread radio, Eero can connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Meanwhile, Eero's beacon is half the size, but even more powerful than the original Eero. Whatever model you choose, Eero's incredible customer support, you can call and get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert in 30 seconds. Now, I know I live in a big house that's mostly brick. It's 3 stories in a basement. I've got a ton of people living there. One router would never work in my house. It can't. One router can't blanket that much.
Same as mine. I'm in 3-story with a basement as well. I needed this. Like this, when this got presented to me, it saved my house from my children screaming at me that their tablets.
I can't get the Netflix in the basement. Yeah. I can't get the Netflix in my bedroom. Right. I can't get the watch the NTDF.
That's the thing that people don't get. You can buy those $30 crap plugins.
Oh, the extenders.
Right, but they cut your signal in half.
Cut your signal in half, and that's what people don't realize.
Exactly.
So you need, the wireless is you don't get enough bandwidth as it is.
Even if you're in a 2,000 square foot ranch, like trying to blanket your entire house with one, where do you put it? Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, anyway, so that is why you need Eero. So for free overnight shipping to the U.S. or Canada, visit Eero.com. Select overnight shipping as the shipping option and enter IT in the D, all one word, at the checkout. Once again, that's Eero.com. Offer code IT in the D at checkout.
That's information technology in the Detroit.
All spelled out, all one word. Thanks for the support, Eero.
Thank you, Eero. Love the product. Speaking of people we're fond of, we have our old friend, good friend, our security guru. I called you an expert last time, and
Guru's even worse.
you're a ninja.
But hey, I almost didn't come in after you invited me. The way you treated Gunnar Lindblom last week.
Get us whacked. Thanks. That'll be amazing.
It was a great segment. But man, I'm like, man, if they treat him that way, what are they going to do to me?
Now we got
last week was interesting. We had a rather odd spike in live listeners from New York, New Jersey, Chicago, and Miami. I don't know why.
This is a podcast you cannot refuse.
But hey, for those that don't know or haven't heard of me, this is Kasten Thomas. He owns a company called Interworks Technology. Been in and around the security space since security was a thing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, before it was a real thing.
Right.
But a while.
But you're, what you do is you're basically the consultant's consultant. That's kind of how I like to at least talk you up. And so, you're dealing with not just ground level stuff when we talk breaches, you're dealing with macro stuff and you're dealing with futures and you're dealing with kind of the what's next.
Yeah, pardon me, Mom, but I deal with the new shit, the really cool shit. I mean, we're out there finding and deploying the new stuff. The big guys do the things you've all heard of, the McAfees, the Checkpoints, the Ciscos, the Microsofts of the world. We're looking for the next thing. So we're into, right now, artificial intelligence-based network management and security solutions, the things that are filling the gaps that the existing vendors don't do.
Well, that's the one thing. I mean, if you heard anything at Black Hat, that's what the quote-unquote Black Hats are doing now, is kind of using artificial intelligence to help them do their dirty work.
Yeah, and if companies aren't preparing for this new paradigm of what's coming with artificial intelligence and machine learning-based attacking tools, we're going to have to hit them back with the same kinds of tools to maintain proper defenses.
So I have conversations with CISOs hopefully daily, not all the time, but and one of the things that we always joke about is how do you – there's so much right now in terms of overlap with security vendors and technologies and the new thing and the old thing and the safeguard this and they protect that. And it seems like there's not a cohesive –
We already have something that one of my guys says does that.
Right.
But I don't know if it does.
But it might.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you make sense of this? I don't want to call it vendor sprawl yet because we'll get into the acquisition thing in a little bit. But – how do you make sense of all this stuff going on right now?
Well, you have to build a process, and very few companies have put forth a process for finding and deploying technologies. And you do that with a methodology that takes into account what's the current investment and what's the current ecosystem that we've already built out? What are the major initiatives that we're putting together both today, tomorrow, and into the future? And how do we do our project planning? How do we do our technology planning? How do we do our financial planning against that? There's a lot of moving parts, but when you have that methodology, it really simplifies the decision-making process and moves things along so that everybody's on the same page.
Well, that's one of the things that's issued for me, and I don't know if you believe the same thing I do, but when you get cool new those bleeding-edge vendors that come up and they're trying to change the way things are getting done, and they get really big really fast, and then they get acquired by one of the big boxes, and then it just stops.
Well, that's one of the trends that we're really concerned about is because we're seeing that a lot of these hot technologies are rising quickly. And then you'll have a Cisco or an HP or a
Dell. Hey, that's a competitor doing something really cool.
Yeah.
Kill it.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. Turn it into a parking lot.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's a reason that venture capitalists put their money into small upstart companies with great idea. And it's because there's that air of innovation. And when these companies get acquired too quickly, they become a part of uncertainty because what's going to happen? Entire development teams have been known to leave after 6 or 9 months because the culture's changing and they're not sure what they want to do. And they really bought into the idea of really making a difference. And in a small company, you can make a difference, have an impact. And that's why you find, one of the recent interesting things that happened about 6 months ago was that the CTOs of both Carbon Black and Cylance, which are arguably competitors, they both left and started a new company, kind of with the blessing of their previous companies. But it was because they wanted that adrenaline rush of building something new and different. And quite frankly, 2-3 years into a startup, the CTOs start getting bored and, They're driven by that next big thing. We at InterWorks are as well, and that's why we took Cylance off of our website back in February. Why? Because it got big and everybody's doing it. So we want to keep reinforcing the innovation approach, and if we're dragging a lot of baggage along, then we can't be effective at continuing to look forward.
And you look at something like Cylance, and they do a very cool job, but they're focused on one thing. But yet they call themselves an analytics player, but maybe they do, but it's purely for AV.
Well, no. One of the things that's happened is Cylance has gotten – well, let me go back. What happened was, we had antivirus and then all of a sudden we had anti-malware. Mm-hmm. Well, those are two different types of attack vectors and there's a difference between antivirus and anti-malware. I won't go into that here. But now what we're seeing –
not according to Symantec.
Well, sure. They got the baggage. but even Symantec and Malwarebytes and those dreaded guys at Kaspersky Labs are all coming out with their own machine learning versions of anti-malware. What's really catching on now, at least in the larger corporations, is called EDR, and that's the endpoint detection and remediation. think I got that right. Yep. I've been using EDR for so long. So Cylance is moved by necessity into the EDR space because you've got FireEye who purchased Mandiant. You've got Carbon Black. You've got CrowdStrike who are all being brought into these major breaches to help analyze not just did we get attacked, but how and what was the source, and giving you the attack vectors so that you know who's after you, how to protect from further similar kinds of attacks, or are there forensics in there that would lead us to believe that you know there are other pathways open into the organization.
That was an interesting shift for me because I remember endpoint protection, semantic endpoint protection, and rolling that out years and years ago. And I think when companies first started doing this, it was just on their laptops. And then it went into mobile. But now I see, like at work, all of my servers have these types of endpoint protection pieces on them as well.
Absolutely.
So it's like now every device in the organization, then if you connect to email, you're going to get threat defense pushed down to you or something like that as well. So it's basically trying to cover you from every angle that you could come at it. So it's pretty neat. Pretty neat shift.
So what you're finding is over the years, information security is getting more sophisticated because the attacks are getting more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. That goes without saying. But one of the trends that we're seeing, call it a mega trend, is the move and the shift from a focus on information security to information resilience. And resilience is really the key word that we're going to be hearing in 2018 because the attacks – and as this moves up to getting greater visibility in the executive level and the boards of directors, the focus isn't so much what's the attack, but what's the impact on the business. And the impact on the business, when something goes down, it may be the internet. It may be our data center. It may be an application. It may be another factor of one of our suppliers that gets into third-party risk. So we're seeing a lot more cross-functional work going on between the network team, the security team, the application team, the DevOps team. In fact, there's a whole industry building up around Dev SecureOps. And so, you know, we have to get more sophisticated. And so that's the focus as it rises to the board level of we're not talking about security. We're talking about resilience, which means how do we keep the business functional and operational?
See, it's funny. You bring up got to get more sophisticated, but then you see a lot of these breaches are patching or soft passwords or, you know, someone could reconfig BGP wrong, right? It's almost like you got to do both. You got to keep it simple and you got to, you know.
Well, now the adage is people, process, and technology. And I chuckle a lot of times when you know, somebody gets on LinkedIn and says, you know, it's not about technology. Technology doesn't matter. It's about the people and the processes. Technology is not important. Well, you know what? You give Hank Aaron, you give Babe Ruth a wiffle ball bat, they're not going to hit home runs. You've got to have the technology.
Right.
You've got to have a balance between those three legs of the stool.
Well, and honestly, so like just getting back to where I think Bob started off with one of his first questions, I guess my biggest thing is so how do you try to help people avoid, you know, the CIOs, the CSOs, the CIO, you know, the buyer's regret? Like, because I mean, like, that's, you know, as you have this whole new field evolving and you have this constant change, you know, people have long budget cycles and, you know, hey, I just dropped $2 million on X that was supposed to solve my problems, and now you're coming to me and telling me, nah, I need Y. I'll buy that next year because I'm already cashed out.
Well, again, too many people, you know, myself included, think that there's this silver bullet. I keep falling for that.
Yeah.
You know, last year, AI, machine learning was going to be the next great thing. Now you're hearing everybody say – not everybody. But you're hearing so many people go, AI doesn't work and it's failed and it's passé. Well, that's part of the delusionment curve, as it's called. And so the focus in the process that we've built is let's not look at the bright, shiny object. Let's go find those shiny objects, but let's go look at it within the context of what are the spending trends, what's our installed ecosystem, what's the strength of the venture capital, the marketing plan, and the go-to-market strategy of these companies. Too many people go, oh, that's a great technology. Let's go buy it. And it might not even be a change in technology. It may be that you've implemented Palo Alto, but Cisco just bought them. Well,
right.
How's that going to impact your decision? So you really have to put the forward-looking technology plan in place, and then you have to select your technologies in the context of what do we own, what's the business decision around this, how do we map out the money, and that's when you get into the technologies that have a payback of 3 months. Okay, doesn't mean you're going to throw it out in 3 months because you're making that decision on, we may buy our technologies and there's a 3-year depreciation on that. So you're going to be living with it.
And that's the interesting thing about information security software is there may not be a tangible payback, right? How do you do an ROI on buying a new security appliance or a security solution?
Well, it can be done.
It can be done.
It can be done.
Maybe you didn't get breached because no one cared you were there.
Right.
Not because of your shiny new firewall software.
Totally.
Yeah. When it comes into resilience, you start looking at if we're able to combine the needs of the networking group, the compliance group, and the security group, now you can start sharing budgets from these different organizations. Mm. When you're buying things out of the cloud, you're buying things in your OPEX instead of your capital budget. So that makes things a lot different because now you're not incumbent on that capital expenditure to be depreciated over those years. So, we're starting to find that CISOs and upper-level management in the security group are doing two things. Number one, they're getting more financial savvy so that they can talk to the board, so that they can talk to the CFO, so that they can talk to the executives in terms that they can understand. And they're learning to collaborate amongst the groups. It used to be that the networking group and the security group were clashing. They were at heads about what should be implemented because one group would have the authority, the other group would have the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And now the executives who are reporting up to the CFO and the CIO are starting to find this collaborative effect of how do we share budgets and how do we go into the planning of being able to use the products so that when we get into a room, you're not saying, oh, this side of the table is saying, well, our dashboard says this, and the other guys are arguing about my dashboard says that. So it's the old adage that a man with two watches never knows what time it is.
Well, unless they're set to the same time.
Synchronized watches and go.
And seriously. But like the old school way of thinking for security in terms of the ROI is always there's three stages to buying security. You got breached. You're a mess. Compliance and governance.
Right.
You need to get to this certification or your level of paranoia. Meaning it's kind of like with a house, right? Dog, gun, locks on all the doors, window, bars.
What kind of insurance policy you have. Exactly.
Right. Now it's becoming more of where there's the lines are all blurred, like Kasten was saying, between all of the phases where security, like right now, like big data is being used by marketing, but then that's flowing into IT right now. And then there's got to be someone to protect that data for marketing, right? So like all of these lines
from the house somewhere, and you got to have the app to access it.
Right.
You've got to have – yeah.
So all these lines are being blurred between the business units and not you can't necessarily say there's an ROI, but you can because –
Are we witnessing the death of shadow IT?
No, never.
Oh, no. Well, no, or just that term.
It hasn't – I don't – it's not being – like this year that phrase went – last year was all – that's all anyone talked
about. Yeah.
This year, no, because there is no more because everyone – I think IT, they all know. There's no more doing stuff without knowing.
Right.
And I think everybody's gotten wise to the fact that, hey, we got to all be cohesive. And IT can't be that almighty guy in the throne going, I control all of you. Those days
you shall not pass.
Right, exactly. Right.
So speaking of phrases that are so in last year and this year, it's one of the favorite things I like to ask you, Kasten, is what's hot right now? I mean, you've talked about AI, and that was probably the last show or the last couple of shows. But, what's hot in the market now? What are the apps? What's going on?
I think we're moving along to the resiliency effort. And when you talk about cost justification, one of the things that hardly anybody knew were the acronyms SD-WAN. Now it's the rage. It's software defined wide area network. So MPLS is going to be dying. MPLS is a private network, and sorry,
No, I know what SD-WAN is. I came out with it.
So SD-WAN is the hottest thing in telecommunications because you no longer need point-to-point links and you don't have to buy the MPLS. SD-WAN is now being integrated with virtual firewalls. So now when you're making a purchase decision of SD-WAN, you have the option of having a virtual firewall as a service as an extension of the SD-WAN.
VFAAS.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, all right.
So, but that changes the game.
So much AAAS going on, I swear, everything is.
The asses, yes.
So much asses.
There are two technologies that have been around for a while. One has really come to market in the last 9 months. Let's talk about network resiliency, and there are security components to that. Two different approaches of two vendors that we're working with. The first one is artificial intelligence and advanced analytics based. So essentially this technology is dragging in all of the controller logs, logs from the switches and the network traffic, looking at it at real time and doing real time analysis in order to do troubleshooting and performance analysis across an entire enterprise network. So now if I've got a baseline of what's normal in my network, this system can go, something just dropped out of our normal control variables. So let's flag that and take a look, and let's go and show the help desk immediate remediation of steps that they can take in the English language in order to resolve that problem.
Hmm.
So Walmart justified this. Notre Dame justified this system entirely on the number of network support-related support tickets that were opened. I mean, it's phenomenal. Nice.
So an interface flaps somewhere, we know about it. Or if the traffic today is half of what it was,
you know,
for the last 6 months.
What blew me away, we were working with a hospital that was having all kinds of problems with their handheld devices their nurses were taking. This thing, within a week of analyzing the network and what was happening, within the first week it said, we've got far side interference that's causing that problem on the Wi-Fi network. How they pulled that out of the network traffic, I'm like, how did you do that? And they said, well, the inferences that we know, it's a type of supervised machine learning in that we can now look at the characteristics of traffic patterns and retries and what's happening in order to make that determination.
Dude, that's cool.
That's very cool.
So this particular hospital was able to cut the number of network-related help desk calls to half of what they were before, and the number of support calls that got escalated to the network support team by 70%.
Woof.
That's the business.
There's your ROI right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's people a technology money. That is fabulous for the local area network analysis. Now, when you take the SD-WAN impact and you look at, we used to know what our network looked like and what our problems were because we all had these private networks and we could view it into it. What happens when you have VLANs that are extending across a virtual private network or across an SD-WAN? You don't have that visibility. ThousandEyes, quite literally, you were talking about the level 3 problem that happened. Quite literally, ThousandEyes has hundreds of thousands of sensors on the internet across the world, and they're collaboratively taking their customer sensors that can even be running in Cisco ISR and ASR routers and upload performance information about the internet. About the internet, about everything that's happening on your private network and on the public network at large. So in your NOC, 15 to 20 seconds after level 3 went down, you'd be getting an alert from ThousandEyes that says, it's not just you, it's these other customers. Here's what the blast radius looks like, and here are your locations that are affected. We can even tell you your customers who are out in Starbucks or in their home office or VLAN from Europe, what the impact is on them, because they're taking all of this information from these sensors that are deployed and optimizing that and defining that right down to how does it affect your network.
Dude.
Now, is that,
slick.
Yeah, is that open source? Is that a collaboration or what?
Oh, no. ThousandEyes is a venture firm. They've been around for 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
But, you know, I talk about the lack of intellectual curiosity for some people. we were at Cisco Connect a couple of weeks ago, and here are people going, well, we've got SolarWinds or we've got Cisco Prime. We don't need that. I'm going, dude, Cisco uses this internally. This company was the first company that had a third-party agent approved by Cisco to run on Cisco routers. So it sits there, and it's running. It's inserting test into the internet to report back. So everybody, Nuria, your company has to have this. Every nameplate in Silicon Valley and in Seattle are using this, the who's who's list of showing the network uptime. So if you're a hospital that's got 100 hospitals or even 10 hospitals, you need this because you're consolidating all of your electronic medical records into a single data center or two data centers or regional data centers. And how do you know when that comes unavailable, and how do you know what the problem is? You can't spend 15, 20 minutes troubleshooting the problem. You ought to have it in your NOC instantaneously ready to react. Another thing that we love about this technology is that it scales down small. Even if you're like a retailer or a small hospital with one or two, three locations, this can be $1,000 a month for a small network. So the ability of this to scale in the way they're building the model, because they want to build more and more sensors so that they've got visibility into the network. And Thousand Eyes has agents running in 160 different hosting centers. So there's an agent running at Salesforce.com. There's one at every AWS site at Rackspace. So they're looking to build these sensors out so that they have higher visibility across the entire internet to improve the collaborative information that they're able to provide to their customers based on that full visibility into the internet.
Kind of awesome. Hey, we're up against the top of the hour, but we could talk to you all day about this stuff. This is phenomenal.
I think we say that every time.
I know, right? That's why we bring them back. Right? That's why we bring them back.
We'll just do segment 4, 5, and 6 tonight. Right. I got more.
I'm going to India tomorrow, so that's a no.
But hey, find you online, Cass and Thomas on LinkedIn.
That'll work.
And then, yeah, we definitely appreciate the time. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to be back with Michelle Gilbert from Comcast. This is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking around with us. This is segment 3 of episode 221 of the IT in the D Show. I think we should call it 220, 221, whatever it takes.
220, 221, whatever it
yeah,
takes.
Yeah, yeah. And if you get that, you're our age if you get that reference. Yeah.
If you get that, you're allowed to keep listening.
We're hanging out here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan.
Randy, go watch Fletch immediately.
It's Mr. Mom, Fletch. Dude.
What?
It's Mr. Mom.
No.
220, 221, whatever it takes is Mr. Mom. I will give you my Cadillac if I'm wrong. In the morning, 7 in the morning, you want a beer?
Checking out the plane.
No, you want a beer at 7 in the morning. Scotch? So what are you doing? Changing the electrical? You know, he's trying to act macho to the new boss
right.
He came to pick
it's
up
Mr.
his wife.
Mom, it's Mr. According Mom, to the internet. Yep.
Yes, it's Mr. Mom.
Oh, it was Fletch.
Mark this one down in history. He's still not admitting he's wrong, and he never will.
Okay. If the internet says it, it must be true.
That's David Geek. I'm Bob the Sales Guy.
Hey, but bring up the 3 a.m. Coney thing again.
You're right.
Nary, the F&G's in the house, as is Randy. I do the Twitter's Walker. Find us online, itinthed.com. Hey, this segment is brought to you by our very good friends at App River. Oh, that was your cue.
I thought maybe I should let it pass this time. No. Because I just got squashed by Fletch. So.
You can still think App River.
App River.
That's why you're thinking Fletch.
It probably is.
If you are a business owner, you wear many hats, and it may seem like you need an IT degree like Kasten to keep your business safe from cyber attacks, especially with all the vulnerabilities that come with having email systems, networks, devices that allow you access to anything from anywhere. So how do you stay on top of everything? Keep your data and network secure and still run your business? Pass that hat to AppRiver, the leader in cloud-based security solutions for business. With AppRiver's premium email and virus protection, you can be sure malware isn't going to be your next headache. Take it even further with web protection that keeps your network safe from both external and internal threats, as well as email encryption. Continually archiving solutions that help you face everything with confidence. Throw in Office 365 for your productivity needs, and your business can be fully optimized with no additional software or hardware requirements. Everything comes with a 30-day trial, and the App River's phenomenal care, customer service available around the clock from real App River employees opposed to fake ones who answer your questions in minutes rather than days. Do us a favor. Visit appriver.com/IT to get started today. That's appriver.com/IT.
I'm loving the reads that we're getting with better URLs now.
Oh, exactly. They were a
slash
mess
Detroit,
for
Detroit.
Right.
Slash IT.
Right. Exactly. So, hey, we are joined. We've been bugging ever since Little Caesars Arena opened. I wanted someone on the show
to
talk tech. No, it's the Pizza Arena.
It's the dojo.
Arena.
I like the pizza. Oh. But we got Michelle Gilbert was gracious enough to come hang out with us and talk Little Caesars Arena and talk about kind of the wireless. If you're not familiar with Michelle, she is the VP of PR for Comcast locally, and she's one of our residents. We talk about programs for kids and all the cool stuff.
At least every month or two, we've got her in talking about
all the new tech with their apps. But this time, we really wanted to focus on that. So, Michelle, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for staying with us. I know it's way past your bedtime. I'm just kidding. I'm doing. But
actually, it really is.
Right. But we definitely appreciate the time. So let's dive right into it. The District Detroit. Once it's done, I mean, have you seen how far this thing stretches? It's insane.
It's 50 square blocks.
It's 50 square blocks, and this thing's literally going to get covered, not only in the arena but outside the arena with beautiful Wi-Fi.
Yes. So right now we've built the network throughout the district or throughout Little Caesars Arena. So there is not a spot within the arena that you can't go with 1,000 Wi-Fi access points that you won't have access to Wi-Fi. And we've built enough bandwidth into the arena that people can use their devices and do whatever they need to do whenever they want to do it. And we've built enough bandwidth in to take care of future needs as well. So it's pretty covered. I mean, here's a little secret that a lot of people don't realize. So the Wi-Fi access points are strategically placed throughout the entire arena, including under some of the seats.
Oh.
Yeah, so that it's really on every level within the bowl. So it's pretty cool. And as the rest of the district gets built out, we will continue to add our outdoor hotspots across the rest of the district. So right now, there's not necessarily hotspots across the rest of the district because it's not built out yet. But as it gets built out, you know, we'll continue to add those hotspots that we've talked about in the past.
Well, and, you know, the network certainly isn't getting tested during, say, Pistons games.
Well, actually, if everybody is in the concourse like they're saying, it really would be tested, right? Because it's even wider area.
So let me talk to you, Dave. You know this question. Like, so going to a football game, the phone is in active use, whether you're, you know, tweeting to get your picture on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at stats, looking at your fantasy team, looking at replays. It's a common thing to check your phone. Hockey,
No, not as much. But I mean that fits into my whole. I can segue or diverge for a moment. You know, my whole thing about why hockey hasn't caught on in America like other sports have.
It's fantasy.
It's real simple. You look at football, baseball, basketball. There is a flurry of activity and then a stop, like a reset, like football. Pass, run, whatever. Then you've got a 45-second break before the next play. You know, baseball, pitch, hit, pitch, strike, whatever, you've got a break. Basketball, dribble, dribble, dunk, dribble, dribble, shoot, sneaker, squeak, layup, whatever. Hockey, man, I've seen games go for like 10 minutes without a whistle, and you can't not watch because someone's going to get laid out in that 10 minutes, whether, you know, if you miss it, you're going
to
be mad.
Well, that principle applies to why soccer isn't big in
Soccer is just slow hockey on grass.
Right.
But it's the same thing. So, I mean, it's, you know, you don't have, there's not necessarily that ADD requirement of, you know, with hockey, it's constant motion. So it keeps you engaged, but that, start, stop, start, stop. Yeah, I'll pull up my phone. I'll check my email. Meh.
Oh, because I was thinking 1,000 APs in that arena. That's light. But then I thought I was thinking about that, like with the usage requirements.
Well, when you think about it, so what's your average attendance? 23, 24,000?
22,000.
Yeah, so, okay, so 22,000, 1,000 APs, so 2,200 people per AP.
That's pretty dense, right?
Well, I mean, it is, but I mean, that's
200 per AP.
200.
200, sorry, bad math. Yeah. I said it when we opened. Math is hard. no, so, but, you know, you think about it, that's not terrible, you know, and that's assuming that everyone is on their phone.
Right.
And trying to connect to the Wi-Fi network and not hooking into their cell carrier and not hooking into – so, I mean, it's – I mean, that's – those are decent odds.
Yeah, because that was one of the complaints last year with Ford Field.
Oh, yeah, last year at Ford Field.
You can't get on Wi-Fi.
Well, especially when they send you messages up on the Jumbotron that says tweet yourself too, and you can't.
Can't.
I went to a couple games last year, and it was just you just see a little bar going and just frustration when they're like, put it out there, do this, do that. And then you're just like, nope, fail.
Yeah, would love to, but can't.
So what's some of the feedback you got? I mean, is I went there to Little Caesar Arena once. I don't think I used the Wi-Fi. But has feedback been pretty solid?
The feedback has been very, very strong. We're watching every single event that takes place, monitoring it, tweaking the network because, you know, based on usage, what we're seeing is that there's a lot more uploading going on than downloading, which makes sense, right? We're actually we can –
because I got to post my Facebook selfie.
We knew when Kid Rock hit the stage. It was like, boom, you know, the numbers went up. So it's really fascinating to watch what's going on and how people are using it. You know, we're going to continue to monitor and tweak because it is new. And until we get a sense of what the demands are, you know, there's going to have to be some manipulation to just make sure that it, you know, meets the standards that we've set up.
So when we talk about like the rest of the district and all the development happening, there's a lot of exciting projects happening, right?
There are a ton.
There's the historic buildings. You've got one that actually used to be the apartment for Harvey Firestone back in the day. All these other cool things happening. Are you working in concert with these new developments to put out Wi-Fi? Is that a mix of paid service plus free blanket or how does that work?
So fiber has been laid throughout the entire district. So fiber has gone to every
lucky fiber
corner of of the district. As the different businesses and the residential units go up, then they will have access to our network and they can choose to take advantage of what's already been built in for them or not. So it'll be up to each individual resident. It'll be up to each individual business to determine, you know, do they want to sign on as a customer.
Do you have any kind of sense on the kinds of businesses and things that they want to put in there? Is this going to be something that they're attempting to put more, say, tech businesses, things like that with all this internet connectivity? Because I saw in the press release something like as much internet as all of southeastern Michigan or something like that. And that sounds really big. And so I don't know if you could clarify that a little
bit. So what we were trying to quantify is it there's more that there right now than there is demand. So if you that would be enough bandwidth to take care of all of southeastern Michigan. Are we taking care of all of southeastern Michigan? No, of course not, because it's all built into Little Caesars Arena. But the idea behind it is we didn't just build it for what is needed today. We've built it for the future as well. Cool. And we'll continue to modify and invest. I mean, so far, it's an $11 million project that just Comcast has invested to lay the fiber, to build out, you know, the arena and the district. And, you know, it's an exciting project to be a part of.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing these days with people. It's like if my Wi-Fi, everything this needs to be glitch-free and needs to move at the speed of light. Where people are complaining almost.
You didn't even know it existed 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. It was like today. My Snapchat doesn't work. What am I going to do?
Oh, yeah. We didn't even get to that one. Snapchat was down for 4 hours. Oh, my God.
And people were threatening lawsuits. Seriously.
God, I hope that one was in jest.
Just, if you break my streak, I swear to God, I'm suing you, I think, was the tweet.
Right.
Wow.
So there was a. You also brought up, you talked to me before the show about an interesting survey.
Oh, you're right.
About home usage for Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so we did this survey about Wi-Fi usage in the home. And I think last time I was on the show, I talked about the new free app that we offer called XFi, which basically allows you to do two pretty important things. It allows you to troubleshoot issues in your home. It also allows you to really manage and monitor the Wi-Fi usage in the home. So for all you parents out there, basically it gives you the ability to pause your kids' devices. And
oh, nice! Because honestly, that's one of the things I love about the Eero. So yep. It's kind of nice to hear that you guys are doing the same thing now.
Yes,
8:30
yes.
Night,
it's free.
Yeah,
no, you get none. You get none. But if you ever look, like I got 15 connected devices on my Eero right now, like in my house, between the three Amazon government listening devices,
the wiretap, Yeah. So you have a recipe for pancakes? Yeah. Right.
Okay, wiretap.
But it, you know the fact
and the smart TVs and the
three smart TVs. Three tablets, four fires.
And a partridge.
Yeah, four phones. Exactly.
So what we found out in the survey results is, yes, you know, parents were admitting that, you know, they don't remember the last time they've had a device-free meal. But more than half of the parents admitted that their kids are telling them to turn the devices off at dinner time. So it's not just
I don't
just
buy
the
that
kids.
For a second.
Yeah, right.
I don't buy that for a second.
I've seen it. My kids have done it to me.
Oh, it's so
we do it at our
for
table.
You, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, because, yeah.
So, you know, think about it this holiday. You know, a lot of people, I'm having 20 people at my house. How many people are going to be on their devices when they should be engaging
19.
With family? So I have the power to pause everybody.
We haven't seen the restaurants locally that have done the like coffee can on the table saying if everybody puts their phones in, you get 15% off your meal.
Right.
Ooh,
that's brilliant.
I would love to see that.
I think it started in the West Coast. Or it's like device free, like hey.
Well, there's the other one, and this was more just like among friends thing. It wasn't really done by the restaurants, but you know, you all put your phones in the middle of
first
the table.
First one to touch it,
first one to grab it gets the tab.
That's clever.
It's not a bad, you know. I don't know. I if I was 25, maybe it'd be different. But like it's bad at our age.
Yeah.
But I, you know.
I don't know. The good party – I've been to some really great parties where they had phone check-in where you had to check in your phone before you got
in
there.
I'm leaving.
Oh, that was great. It was so much fun.
Well, what if somebody calls?
Those are the parties where photos are not allowed to be taken.
Right.
I don't go to those weird parties, Jer.
I do.
You host
I'm referring
them.
To a party at the top of the DAC. What are you referring to?
Ding.
Anyway, it's funny.
What does DAC stand for in your world?
Digital Audio Connector. But Michelle, back to XFi. I had that installed because after our last time you were on the show, I'm like, I need to see this technology in action. I mean, I don't have any kids. I've got a bunch of roommates. But it's really amazing the control and the visibility you get into those things.
Yes.
And how you can basically say, this device, I'm going to name this person.
Right.
And then I don't want them on the internet right now, or maybe they're misbehaving. You pause their internet. Like, that's the worst thing you could do to a kid probably for punishment nowadays is turn off their internet access, right?
No, so I take away their power cords.
Yeah. Oh.
No, you don't take away the device. You take away the power cord.
Ooh.
And watch the look of desperation on their face.
It's like an hourglass. Just like.
Yeah, but then you have to be really patient and just sit around and wait for it to happen.
I got time.
All right.
I got time.
And then as the tech was installing it, he told me that I could actually manage all this stuff from my TV.
Correct.
So you go into Xfinity.
You are an X1 customer.
Exactly. Yeah. So I go down to the apps in X1, and it says that I can basically do everything I can from my phone, from the app, on the TV as well,
correct.
Which is incredible. I can do all that stuff without leaving my couch. It's brilliant. So, yeah, I was really happy with the service. And then the new gigabit modem is pretty fancy, too.
You like it?
Oh,
yeah.
It's so sweet. So slick.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
yay.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah,
do you remember how much he hated my company when we first met?
I'm not gonna lie, I was like the biggest anti Comcast.
There's no way I was ever gonna buy Comcast.
I know
in my
now.
Life.
I've got a triple play right
I'm
here.
A happy,
Dave,
I'm a happy customer. Yeah.
I'm the Comcast hipster in the room. I was doing it long before it was cool.
The long term customer. You were the only one who was happy, and then slowly but surely,
no,
I couldn't
believe
I got you.
We all
switch.
Yeah, no, we all left Comcast and then went, wait, Everyone else messes with the Bills, too. It's not just them.
And wait, all the girls are crazy? All right, I'll go back to the one I had.
Right.
We actually have gone through a billing conversion, and we're improving the bills so that they'll be easier to read.
The fact that I can go to my app now and reboot all my stuff, and I don't need to call anyone when stuff's broke, it's so good.
Wait, dude, you've seen it. I'll get a text. Hey, the internet's down. All right, fire up the app.
Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Bounce the router from whatever bar we're at.
So before we cut you loose, I got some. You laid out some good news about my my favorite program, Internet Essentials.
Yes, and then I have some other good news for you as customers too. So, so Internet Essentials back in it was a couple months ago, we announced some enhancements to the program because, you know, we make enhancements every year to Internet Essentials, which is our program to bridge the digital divide. So a few things that we did. First of all, we had a pilot program that was running in just a couple of cities around the country where we opened up Internet Essentials for seniors, and we've expanded that pilot to the city of Detroit.
And awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome because our chief diversity officer came to town and we basically surprised about 150 seniors who were at the Joseph Walker Williams Community Center and told them we were giving them free laptops. You were there.
I was there.
Was that not amazing to watch these seniors like cheering? They were like, it was so cute. It was awesome.
Listen, the amount of laptops like wrapped around like walkers was amazing.
So we also increased the speeds of Internet Essentials from 10 over 1 to 15 over 2. And we've made the Wi-Fi outdoor hotspots available to all Internet Essentials customers, which is great because now when those customers are out and about, they can save on their wireless phone bills as well by taking advantage of those 18 million hotspots around the country.
That's awesome.
So, that's very, very cool.
Yeah. So good stuff. And then for, you know, you guys, the regular old customers, we're increasing speeds for most of our three of our most popular tiers.
Does this mean I get a gig and a half now? Is that what's
now? No, that's not our most popular tiers.
It would be if it was out more.
It's coming. So probably our most popular tier, it's called Xfinity Blast, and that's jumping from 75 megabits per second to 100. And this is all at current
rates.
I get 100. Is that what you're at? I thought you were
at 75.
High. You're at 75?
To think – hold on. Going back to my days at FiberNet and at Vario, and to think
– I got a DS3 connection. Ooh.
That was 45. And to think I'm getting 100 into my house right now. Seriously, that's kind of like
– I have a device in my hand that contains all the human knowledge ever acquired throughout time. And I use it to argue with strangers and look at pictures of cats.
Getting fights on Detroit Lions forums, yeah. But that's awesome, though.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just trying to stay ahead of customers' needs, especially with the holiday season. You know, a lot of people are going to, one, have people coming into their homes, so that means more devices
right.
on your network. Mm-hmm. You're also, what's the most popular thing you get for the holidays is technology, right? And the first thing we want to do is connect it to our internet. So
let it download the 37 updates that it has to run before it will turn
exactly.
on.
So before, you know, we're trying to get ahead of that and take care of and increase the speeds in our customers' homes, or most of our customers' homes, before they have the need. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, all good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I was going to say that you don't hear, like, I think they've lost the world or the country's most hated. Like, that was, you know, like 3 years ago. Like, last year, like, no, not so much. And now, not at all.
So and for what it's worth, so I, you know, like I said, I'm the Comcast hipster in the room, and did a little comparative analysis, and so you guys are now going to be running my security system and cameras as well.
Oh, so you're getting Xfinity Home?
Yeah. So
okay. You have to tell me what you think. Did you have home automation before?
I've got a few widgets, but like, and that's it's ancillary to whatever is going to be going on with this. This is more about the security cameras and that kind of stuff.
One guy breaks in your house, you got to go out and oh, you got the breach, and now you got to buy it.
I had a walk in. I mean, it wasn't so much really a break in, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's scary. That'll be enough to do it for you.
He got on the news and everything.
Film at 11.
Scary. Oh, yeah. Scary.
Well, the best part was they caught the guy. So I because, you know, neighbor had security footage and all that kind of stuff. So they took a still, posted it on Facebook. They caught the guy an hour and a half later, like a mile from my house, because somebody was driving at 16 in Gratiot and went, hey, that's the guy that had seen my post. Had called 911 and nabbed him. It was beautiful.
So I don't know if they have you had it installed yet or not yet?
No, coming out next week.
So one of the things you should look at is you can get the 24/7 continuous.
Oh, already done. Went through that. No, I knew exactly what I was looking for.
I had that at the old place.
And there were four different companies that I was looking at, and you guys actually had exactly what I was looking for. So
it's really not that expensive at all. Which is, I know that shocks you.
Well, no, and the nice part is, I mean, like, and you don't have to use your cameras that you guys sell. You can use whatever cameras you want. I'm like, if you want to go out and get third-party cameras, feel free. You want to get different cameras to hook into it, feel free. So, I mean, it actually was a very cool, flexible system, so.
And we're doing a lot with more third-party vendors because.
Oh, yeah, he's like, hey, you want a Nest thermostat put into? Right. Hey, you want a, what's it called? Who's the at the August door or lock. Ring my bell or whatever it is?
Ring, just ring.
Yeah.
Ring.
I use the August lock that allows me to well, first of all, I can unlock the door from anywhere.
Yep.
So I can let, like, my cleaning lady in, and then I lock the door when she leaves.
Oh, and that's the one that we were talking about a couple weeks ago because the whole Walmart wants to one-up Shipt, and they want to be able to send their delivery people into your house when you're not there. Yeah.
No,
oh, yeah,
no.
That's not happening.
No, not really, no. that's the bridge too far.
I like grocery shopping. I don't want someone doing it for me.
Shipt is the greatest thing
ever.
You're
a maniac.
I know.
Shipt is amazing.
No, ever since I started using Shipt, that's the new Uber/DVR/
I'm going to do my laundry, but not my drive. Grocery shopping.
Well, also since the 8 Mile mire is literally the worst mire in the entire world.
So
oh my
terrible.
Gosh, so bad.
So Shipt is actually a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
So I can send someone else to stand in that line.
I was going
to
say, the checkout lines at that mire are literally the worst checkout. I mean, the store is actually usually pretty well stocked and has good stuff. The lines are insane. Ish.
I mean, when we were out getting like vegetables and whatever, there was a little skiz.
They never have my body wash in stock.
They're always out of tofu, damn it.
Dumbest thing you've ever seen in your life, Randy. Swear to God.
No, every time I go to 8 Mile Mire to get Dove Men Plus body wash,
get it on Amazon
out.
Like normal people.
I don't chop ahead for body
wash. How often do you need a new refreshment on that?
It's weird. Every few months I need some more body wash, and I go to that Mire, and it's out.
Amazon. Hey, we're going to wrap things up for episode 221 of the IT and the D Show. I'd like to thank you for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. I'd like to thank our guests, Cass and Thomas from Interworks Technologies and Michelle Gilbert from Comcast. Also like to thank our sponsors, LinkedIn, Eero, and AppRiver. Check them out. We appreciate them keeping the lights on. On behalf of myself, Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, Randy, I do the Tutors Walker, Jeremiah, Dr. Hook from Daily Detroit. A mouthful. Like, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the cheese. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city.
I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.